As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today. Today we talked with Laura Roder of Edgar. Edgar is a fantastic social media management tool that we actually use here at Rocketship. You may have heard some of this interview in the 5th episode of our product series, but here it is in its entirety for you. Today we talked about leading with a vision. So she is not necessarily involved in the day-to-day product decisions, but those decisions are made based on her vision for the company and where she wants things to go as the CEO. It's a really great episode on how to craft that vision and when to say no. We talked a lot about dealing with requests that may be contrary to where you want your product to go, and when to say yes and when to say no. This is a fantastic interview. I think you're really going to enjoy it here. Welcome to Rocketship.fm, the podcast where we explore startups from funding to growth, culture to sales, and everything in between. I'm Michael Saka.
And I'm Joelle Goldman.
For those that may not be familiar, just remind us again what Edgar does.
Yeah, so Edgar is a tool for repurposing your content on social media. So we post to all the big social platforms, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. The biggest difference between us and other tools is that we post your content in perpetuity on autopilot. So you build a library of curated, categorized content, and then Edgar's algorithm sends it out for you every day without you having to log in and keep refilling.
Nice. Right. And you guys have recently hit some really great milestones, if you care to share.
Yeah. So we just hit 3.3 million annual recurring revenue. So that means we're at about 5,600 customers now.
Wow, that's amazing. So congratulations on that. That's
thank you.
So to start off our conversation today, I want to just ask a really broad question, which is what does it mean to be, to you, to be a product-driven agency?
Well, it's an interesting question. I mean, I think one of the first things that comes to mind for us is about us being bootstrapped. Mm. So we haven't raised any money. So product-driven, I mean, the first thing I think when I hear that is that all of our money has to come from people buying our product, you know, which it sounds like a very obvious statement, but it's not the case for startups who raise money, at least not in the beginning, maybe later down the road. So for us, whether or not people buy our product is not some sort of like sort of side thing that we can kind of pivot and play around with. It's like, that's how we get the money to grow our company. A customer has to vote with their wallet every right. day.
But you also mentioned that you guys weren't feature driven. Right. So how does that work together, right? Relying so much on the customer, but yet not necessarily building everything that they may ask for.
Yeah, so we're in a very crowded space, as probably you know anyone listening knows. There's no shortage of social media tools out there. And for that reason, it's really important for us to take a strong point of view in what we do well and also what we don't do, because social media marketing is a very, very broad topic. You know, you have tools that allow you to do customer service on social. You have tools that allow you to track influencers and see what hashtags they're using and then incorporate those into your own tweets. You know, you have tools that are specific for Pinterest that do a lot only on that platform. I mean, it's a very, very large space. And I actually think that a lot of tools make the mistake of kind of throwing in everything and then they end up being mediocre at a lot of things, like, which is what some customers want. Some customers do want like very all-in-one. I just kind of need to get it done on a base level. But what has been really successful for us, our bottom line is that we drive you more traffic from social. The nature of our tool is that you have content going out every day. We're really great at driving new traffic to old content that you've created. We're a really great match for people who've created a lot of content over the years, but it's not getting exposure because we make that happen automatically. So this is actually something that I learned from Jason Cohen of WP Engine. I asked him, I'm like, how do you make these decisions? Because we have these things that come up where we're like, you know, customers are asking for this and like it's sort of a good idea, but it would also sort of change how our software works and it would kind of make it more complicated. You know, how do you make that call of whether or not you're going to do it? And what he told me and that we really took to heart and have implemented is it's all based on that one core promise of what you do. So WP Engine is such an amazing example of a company with a strong point of view, because you're like, can I install this plugin? And they're like, no, you can't. You know, right. You're like, I don't care how much you want to use it. It's going to crash your security. You can't install it. Like that's kind of their whole thing is like, we're going to make those decisions for you to make sure you have a secure website that's always up on WordPress. Yep. So that was amazing advice. And it allowed us to draw a line in the sand and say, we help people grow their traffic from social. So if this feature is not going to help them get more traffic, we're not going to do it.
Do you have an example of something that you really struggled with whether to do or not? Like a feature to build?
Yeah. I mean, one that we get asked for the most is Instagram. So Instagram, obviously really, really popular network. It's growing all the time. What a lot of people don't realize about Instagram is you can't automate posting there. So the tools that do post to Instagram, you actually have to go into your phone, like not even your software, but your phone, and hit a button when you want the post to go live. The tools kind of help, you know, queue it up and remind you. So they're helpful, but they're not automating posting to Instagram. There are a few that do, but they like break the terms and they usually get shut down pretty quickly. So I'm kind of not going to consider those.
It also seems a bit the antithesis of your tool. For instance.
Well, exactly.
Right. Like you don't repost the same picture over and over generally.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It doesn't really go with a strategy. Twitter, it makes a lot of sense to repost the same thing because people don't see it. Instagram, it works in a little bit of a different way. So it just is fundamentally different for a lot of reasons for the value we offer at Edgar. But a lot of people, when they're initially shopping for a social media tool, they kind of have the checklist. They're like, well, I'm using Instagram, so the tool needs to do Instagram. And so they're missing our tool. But my hope is long term, a lot of people will choose a tool that does Instagram, but then they won't have a good experience on that tool. I mean, not that I hope that they have a good experience, but I'm saying my hope is that they'll see that, they'll have that experience, be like, oh, maybe actually Instagram, I'm just going to do natively, or I can just have sort of a more realistic expectation of what a tool does with Instagram. Maybe actually it does make sense for me to revisit Edgar for my other social needs. And we do see that happening, but it's hard when so many customers are like, why don't you just add an Instagram? It can be hard to say no.
Yeah. And so what have you seen when you do say no, right? They come in, they're saying I need Instagram or else I might leave. But what's your response to them?
Yeah, I mean, we find that people, you know, we get feedback from a good amount of people on why they cancel. It's very rare that it's over a feature. Okay. I think it's much more common. I do think it's common that we sort of miss out on being on people's checklist in the beginning. But once they're using the software and they see the value, I think they kind of understand better why that's not happening. I actually think we need to do a better job of publicly explaining our point of view, because we'll kind of like write emails explaining some of these things. We really make sure to never promise anything for the future or be too. I see some companies with everything customers write, they're like, that's a great idea. We can't wait to consider that. And like, I think it's a little disingenuous because like everyone knows it's a bad idea. Who's reading this? They're trying to be nice, but like, it's a bad idea. So we don't do that with customers. We're not like, oh, cool, that's so great, we never thought of that. Mm-hmm. And we, like with Instagram, we will say that that's not on the roadmap, because that one is such a clear no. Usually we are just careful not to like promise anything one way or the other. It's just kind of like, thanks for the feedback. We always like feedback from customers. You know, we can't say that this is something that's going to be implemented. If people are like, are you going to have this feature in the future? We're like, just consider it no, because, you know, we can't give you a yes on that.
So we'll be back with more from Laura Roeder in just a second. This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com. Now back to our interview with Laura Roeder. So internally, how do you prioritize? I mean, because you're still doing development, even if you're not like actively adding maybe a new network, how do you prioritize that roadmap internally of what's the most important thing to build?
So it's always a challenge.
It is. Yeah.
I think, yeah, we look at I think it's easiest to give an example. So one of the biggest things that we're building next, no promise on when it'll be live for customers listening to this. But one of the biggest things that we're building is right now, when you add new content, we don't have like separate windows for the different social networks. It's just one window that you're composing in, and then you choose the networks you want it to go to. So if you want to have something longer for Facebook, for example, you'll then have to go and create like a totally new piece of content for Facebook. If it's short enough for Facebook and Twitter, you can keep it in the same one. And we're finding that the more the social networks evolve, the more that they're separating into really being pretty different in, you know, the images that you add and how you want to craft your content and all that stuff. So what we're bringing in is when you add content, it'll automatically have a different, you know, little box, a different little interface for the different social networks, which is something our customers have asked for quite a bit. So that made it to the top of the list because we feel like that is very crucial to the core functionality of Edgar. You have to add in a lot of great content for Edgar to work well. This is something that makes it easier to add higher quality content. So I guess all I can say for how we prioritize is we try to keep revisiting that core promise of, you know, what can we do to make the software deliver even better on what it's already doing for people.
And so who internally is kind of taking on that project management role?
So we don't have any product managers at our company. We have our CTO, so the person who built our initial version of the software, has actually kind of stepped back now, and now he's more advising. So we have our manager of our development team, and he's the one who really makes those decisions, leads the process, and he works pretty collaboratively with our CTO, who still advises.
Nice. And so they're building out kind of the roadmap?
Exactly. So yeah, we have something kind of interesting we recently did with our roadmap is we broke it all down into components of the software. So for us, like I'm looking at it, the components are like the accounts, adding content, API, bulk edit. And we're only allowed to have 6 stories per component because what we found, which I think a lot of people find, is that the roadmap really becomes the trash can.
Right.
Because the roadmap is the place where every idea that anyone at the company has ever had gets
right.
thrown into, higgledy-piggledy. And at first, we just put everything into these categories. And we're like, okay, cool. Now it's all divided by components. But it's like, well, we still have 40 things on that component. So we made ourselves cut. So now it's like a one in, one out rule. If there's 6 things, you have to get rid of one.
And so is it a sprint? Are you guys, are they kind of timed, or is it more when it's done, it's done?
I'm sorry, I have to keep coughing. Let me cough one.
Okay.
Sorry. Hello.
No problem.
So we don't do the typical 2-week sprints. We just do Monday planning, Friday retro, but we kind of let things take various amounts of time. So we deploy a little bit every day. We don't like wait for a big deploy. We try to get everything live and out as soon as possible. So we'll have a deploy pretty much every day. And then, yeah, we just plan for that Monday, but some things are going to be done, you know, in the middle of the week. Some things are going to take months. We kind of let various stories take whatever time they take. We also stop doing estimates, which is controversial. We used to do estimates for everything, and then we found that they just like weren't very accurate. And we were just kind of like, well, this is just this whole process we have. And what
right.
are we really like, we're like, it's going to take 3 hours. Nope, we were wrong. It took 6 hours. Okay. And like, we're not really learning anything or improving everything. Let's just do our stories, do them well, and they take how long they take. I mean, you have to be careful that you're pushing stuff live when it's done, and you know, making sure you're not just spending forever improving things.
And how do you like, so you have the product, you know, the roadmap internally, and then how are you as the CEO taking that out and building that product message? Because I assume it goes both ways, right? You have kind of the vision for the company, which is what defines the product, and then you have the constant iterations.
Yeah, you know, I'm probably a lot less involved in the product than a lot of CEOs are. Mm. Like, I didn't mention myself in those meetings because I'm not in those meetings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not making the decision about what happens with the product. But I think a lot of that is because, like I said, we have the really simple point of view, and because we're not adding components, you know, our roadmap's broken down into components. we've added one. There is one feature that we want to launch in the next 6 months or so. That's the only column, you know, there are the columns in Trello. That's the only column that's gotten added in the past. I mean, I don't know when we made this, like 6 months ago, 9 months ago, wow. And the company's only around for 2 years.
Right.
So, you know, it like we're not making those. We're really and truly not adding new features. We're improving the features we already have. So I think that kind of makes the whole process easier. I mean, it's the hard part is still balancing what to prioritize and bugs versus features and all that stuff everyone has to deal with. But like, I don't really need to add in my 2 cents because it's pretty easy for everyone to be on the same page as far as what we're building.
So let's shift gears for a minute from the product. And I'd love to talk about your growth and see what has made the difference in getting there as a bootstrapped company to get to, you know, 3.1 ARR is fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, this is where it comes good that I'm not technical. I'm really good at marketing. That's what I know how to do. I don't know how to build software, but I know how to market software apparently because we have a lot of people who bought our software. And I think that is something that we've done differently. I do see a lot of software doing the kind of, if you build it, they will come. Or, you know, along the topic of product, I constantly see people thinking that they are going to expand their customer base by adding features, which I just think is one of the biggest fallacies out there. It just doesn't make sense. Like, how do you expect people to know what's going on inside of your software? Even if you're doing like an amazing job announcing it publicly, which most companies aren't, you're only reaching those people that like have already decided, basically have almost already decided to use you, right? Like if you're following a company that closely that you're reading their product updates, you're pretty much sold already, right? And you're just sort of waiting for a reason or something, or until like you have the money, I don't know. But you're definitely not reaching people who don't already know about you with some sort of product update blog post or something like that.
Sure.
So yeah, you know, we've picked a focused market from the beginning. We serve small business. We don't have enterprise clients. We don't have enterprise plans. We don't have a sales team. We're not building anything custom for anyone. It's all self-serve. So I think, you know, we're really big on simplicity. You know, we serve one type of customer. We have one funnel. Like we send people, someone was asking me about Facebook ads the other day. We do Facebook ads and we send people to our homepage because our homepage is our best funnel. Mm. You know, why would we send someone to a separate landing page? If we can develop a better funnel with a landing page, why would we not stick that on our homepage where most of the traffic is going? You know, so we've been focused on building out a marketing sequence very similar to the product, really, right? We like decided like this is our product. We're going to keep improving it. Kind of similar with marketing. Like this is how we market the business. How are we going to do that better and better? Because we've stuck to the same strategies. You know, we do organic marketing. We do content marketing. Most of our customers come in through search. All those things have always been true. We've just been able to grow the scale by doing them more and better.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And that's probably a testament to the simplicity of the product and the problem it solves. You know the problem it solves. And so the marketing speaks directly to that same. You don't need different verticals, it sounds like, to appeal to different types of people.
Yeah, we haven't done that. I mean, we haven't done campaigns based on different verticals. You know, maybe we will at some point in the future. Another thing we've done with marketing is we're really big on not doing one-off marketing. So doing big promotions, you know, having a limited time sale or something like that, they can be really great at getting people in the door. But I don't want, because I've made this mistake in the past. I've had businesses in the past where someone, and it's always been me in the past, is like, that you're like, I got to make it rain. I got to do something
right.
That's going to bring in new business. And it's this never ending cycle where you're like, what are we going to do? What promotion are we going to do? We're not going to have any money unless we come up with something to do. So when I launched this business, I'm like, I am not doing that again. We're building out automated marketing systems, autoresponders, funnels, all that good stuff. And if we want to do a promo, like any idea that we have for a one-off promo, let's see how we can work that into an integrated system as well. Like we send out coupon codes regularly, but they're on a system. You know, you get your code, it expires at a certain time, and it's all automated and systematized as opposed to like the big sale once a year. And we have done some one-off promotions, and we're going to do another one later this year, but I would much rather do, so this year we'll do two for the whole year, you know, on top of our automated marketing, instead of like someone has to have come up with some idea every time we need to drive new business.
Very cool. Yeah. And I mean, it's worked for these 2 years. You mentioned that you may, have you ever experimented outside of your key persona and it just didn't work? Was there ever a situation where you've kind of dipped your toe in the water, but maybe you felt like it wasn't the right fit?
The only thing I can think of is that we did launch with higher cost plans and like two people bought them and then they canceled.
Okay. Got it.
We're like, well, that's kind of pointless. Like, you know, an obvious market for us would be agencies, but our software isn't optimized for agencies. Like you can't have, you know, different client groups. We don't even have multiple logins, like some of the basic things you would want as an agency. Yeah. And I'm a big believer in staying focused and maxing out the market that you have. Like I recently saw an article about StyleSeat, which is a product for hairstylists to be able to book easily with their clients. And I saw that they just launched like waxing or skincare or something like that. And StyleSeat is like a really, really successful company, really big company. The software works the same, whether you're doing waxing or whether you're doing hair. You know, it obviously doesn't matter from the software point of view. And I thought that was really cool and a really like bold and unusual point of view for them, that they're like, we are going to dominate hair. We are going to keep working on hair until every hairstylist in America knows about StyleSeat. Then when we feel good there, like then we will move on to other lines. And that's how I want to be as well. You know, we have 5,000 customers. Great. There's a lot more than 5,000 people,
right?
You know, like
using
running
Twitter,
a small business,
right?
Using Twitter, like marketing online, like there's a lot more than 5,000. So for us to like start going agency, start going enterprise, it's very tempting, but I know that we have so much farther to go where we can leverage what we've already built.
Wow. All right. Well, I feel like we summed up the entire conversation right there. It's brilliant. Yeah, no, I love it. I love the focus. And I think it's something as entrepreneurs, we do so wrong so many times because we have so many ideas and we often chase shiny things. And one of the hardest things to do is just not chase a something else, something different. And
It's hard. It's really hard because when you talk to people, that's always like you're chatting with your friends and they're like, oh, have you thought about launching an agency plan? Or have you thought about like launching in the UK? Like, it's never like, oh, have you thought about like optimizing like the middle part of your funnel
right.
so it converts like 0.5% better? Like, it's just not fun
right.
to talk about, you know? It's not like the big shiny idea, but you know, most businesses are going to get a lot farther with the 0.5% improvement than they are like, we're going to hire a team in the UK, you know?
Yeah, right, right. Totally. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I mean, obviously, where do we keep up with you? Where can we sign up for Edgar and check out what you guys are building there?
Yeah, so you can find Edgar at meetedgar.com. I finally put up my own blog, which is really exciting.
All right.
I'm a little behind on that one. So you can check that out at laurarotor.com, and I'm on Twitter as LKR.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Big thanks to our sponsors, Team Gantt. Go to teamgantt.com/rocketship and use the code SAVEONTG to get 50% off your first 6 months. And by Brand Bucket, go to brandbucket.com/rocketship. You get a special offer. Plus, you can get your next company name, logo, and domain all in one spot, just like Mattermark. You really can't lose there. And by ChargeBee. ChargeBee is the easiest way to set up your subscription billing. Go to chargebee.com/rocketship and get set up for free. So follow us on Twitter at RocketshipFM. You can follow me at Michael Saka, Joelle at Joelle Goldman, and we'll see you back here in just a couple days.
We're the Whistaker. Follow us on Twitter at RocketshipFM. And we're listening to you. Thank you, bye-bye.